call Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, October 15th, 2025 at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Dorn, and Juergens. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held October 1st, 2025. Approve all claims through October 15th, 2025 in the amount of $667,218.76, except claim number 2510-000172 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $2,385.79 and claim number 2510-000174 to Johnny's Welding Inc. in the amount of $49.35 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items you would like to pull off.
Motion approved.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby.
I'm on right side, that's not our job.
Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda approve or disapprove claim number 2510-000172 to Hart. Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $2,385.79 and claim number 2510-000174 to Johnny's Welding Inc. in the amount of $49.35. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through October 15th, 2025 to $669,653.90. These companies are companies that Mr. Juergens and I are associated with. Moved by Dorn, second by Adams. Any discussion? Please vote. Mr. Juergens, are you going to abstain on this one? They are. You're in there. Four in favor, motion carries, with Mr. Tiemann and Mr. Juergens abstaining. Up next, committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn. I'm sorry, we skipped public comment. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on anything for upcoming agendas? Welcome to all of you. Committee reports, building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Dorn. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. I just have a few things. The ramp project is going well. They should be laying the hydronic tubing today, and so then it would just be the concrete yet. So hopefully soon we'll be able to start using the ramp. The doors have been delayed somewhat. They're supposed to be in by November 10th. But as long as we have the ramp there, we'll open it up to the public. So hopefully by the end of this week, that should be done. Lighting project, can lights were ordered and came in. They just need to be installed yet. I did talk to Nicole Stoner at the Extension office, and she did bring up asking if the building could be painted out there. So I'm going to get some bids on that. And last thing would be winter lights. We're having a winter lights committee meeting on October 22nd, which kind of caught me off guard. I thought we're having a meeting already, but it is only 38 days away before they get turned on. So that's what I had.
Any questions for Dave or Mr. Dorn? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Equalization, we approved final tax rates. We will have an additional, some additional amendments at our next meeting. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket item.
applied to Medicare technology IT services, $10,458.75. Elite Vehicle Outfitters, Sheriff Vehicle, $12,504.82.
Yeah.
Jane River Chrysler Dodge, Sheriff, 2024 Dodge Durango, $42,000. NIRMA Professional Legal Services, $10,000. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $55,113.46. Step Brothers Petroleum, Fuel, Oil, Grease, $33,185.33.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. Human Resources and Employee Relations, we discussed some stuff with our legal counsel for the FOP. We'll also be discussing and approving wages for elected officials in the upcoming months for the following four-year term. We will be losing a lot of the elected officials we have to retirement, so we'll have some new faces in the building. So this will be a pretty big year for turnaround on elected officials. We're kind of spoiled. Hopefully we can talk to the officials we have. Our clerk, hopefully, you know, we appreciate you, the treasurer, the register of deeds, the clerk of the district court, county attorney. I think I got everybody there. The assessor. Things work because things work between the offices. And we're in one of those rare situations where we get along with each of the offices. We will have a lot of new faces with less experience, so it's been pretty smooth lately. We hope that we get people in those chairs that continue to make it work and run smoothly. Law enforcement emergency management. Who would like to take this one? Mr. Dorn or Ms. Axby?
I don't think we have too much. The jail committee's meeting coming up here at the end of this month. And Lisa, do you have anything? Gus?
Yeah,
I've
got a couple.
Okay.
Morning, sir.
Morning, all.
Except for you. We had our annual jail inspection, and that passed again this year. It's on already. And that was a good thing. Had an issue again over the weekend with protesters over here in the West Lawn. I combined it about 12 of them, I think, or so. I don't know if the board wants to make a public statement on it, if you want to have Dave put some temporary signs up there, because this time they had a lawn on the yard, and then they had like a six-foot table halfway up to the west doors here on the sidewalk. But they're not getting the message. You told the guys that said one more warning, and we'll probably have to do something a little more severe, but they just want to encroach on the yard every time.
So. Sheriff, while we have the attorney in here, what the idea of keeping them on the sidewalk is there's not permits or anything like that, and we don't allow demonstration on the lawn. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically, the city, you know, we get into a little conflict there as far as they basically let anybody, and that's fine. I understand First Amendment and all that stuff. I'm not saying anything there. But I don't think a lot of these people understand the danger they cause. Because when people come driving through, and 6th and Lincoln is one of our busiest intersections in this county, and people are gawking, they're looking, they're reading the signs, they're seeing what the people are wearing, whatever the case is that the protesters do to attract attention. We got a lot of 18-wheelers come through there. And it's just ripe for an accident and somebody getting hurt. That's our concern, and I hope everybody understands that. They want to protest at the courthouse? Fine. We've got east, west, north, and south. Why don't you go over on the east side where there's a lot of traffic, too, but it's slowed down. And that's just a suggestion. We don't have anything formal about that. But like you said, they have been warned, and we got a note here, and we'll respond to that and try to emphasize to people, not stepping on your First Amendment rights. We're just concerned about the safety of our public, and there's lots of other ways they can express their dissatisfaction with life. Probably shouldn't have said that.
But if they can stay on the sidewalk, that's public space. Yeah. It's not going to hurt the lawn, but it is a potential safety concern there, as It depends on what group's there and what's going on. That's just a, I don't know that we have an official policy on that, but.
Well, that's the one we've always had, is that you got to stay on the sidewalk.
Well, that is the, well, the working policy.
I can tell you where it came from. Dick Creek, a lot of you may remember Dick. He took a great deal of pride, not that Davey doesn't, in this yard. And you cross over that yard, Dick was there.
Well, even when I'm checking weeds, Dave will come out and make sure I'm in the yard for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, that's all I had. So,
thanks, Sheriff. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Gotta find my papers. There we go. We obviously got a lot of phone calls about road conditions after it rains, but that's kind of what happens when it rains. We appreciate the rain as it comes. We had met with Volkscapes at our last meeting, and they had accepted the liquidated damages as is, and there was discussion that they wanted to discuss them further now after that commitment. Other than that, I don't think I have anything. I did get the grant application. Mark got me the Excel file for the CBMP application. I am just running through the written application part one more time to make sure it's all good, and I'm going to hit the submit button today, which is 2 days early. So everybody cross their fingers and hope we're selected for that one. That's all we have.
Thank you, Ms. Axby. Anything else for committee reports? If not, we'll move on to North Public Power and ISI Solar for introductions for ISI Solar. Mr. Jerry, do you want to come up and?
Well, I can't. I do have a sinus thing happening.
Oh.
Me, so, but I'll introduce Aaron Brown. He's with ISI, so he'd probably be the best speaker today. If you have questions, let me know.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Morning.
Morning, Aaron.
Yeah,
thanks. Could you give your name and position for the record?
You bet. Name's Aaron Brown. I'm their engineering development vice president. Here goes out. So what Lisa's handing out for you is just a little background about who we are at ISI. We're based out of Central City, Nebraska, and I've joined the company here just about 2 years ago. Now my background is 100% in the utility. So I've worked with Jerry for the past 20 years. I've been worked for Nebraska Public Power District and worked for Loup and Southern Public Power District. So big background on the utility side of things. Jumped over to generation side because we all know we don't have enough generation. So this project came about actually when I was at Southern. We worked with Today's Power just like Jerry did. And when Today's Power backed out on these guys, I had went down and talked to them about opportunities for solar in this area. And so that's how we got involved. And then they did an RFP. And so we went out and did the proposal for them and gave them a PPA price. And that's what brings me here today. So like I said, ISI has been around since 2014. I dealt with ISI when I was at Southern, because we had to make sure they connected to the grid properly. So now I'm on the other side, you know, making sure they're still connecting the grid properly. It's just a different role. But they started small with the 25 kW type solar panels, and then they built up into the megawatt, the utility scale. And the biggest one they did here a few years ago was in Kearney. That was a 7 megawatt job out there. That was the biggest one in the state for quite a while. The one in Norfolk has surpassed it now. But ISI has done lots of projects in Colorado for a company called Pivot. They've done battery projects, done regular solar projects. In Nebraska here recently, we have done projects in Gearing, Sydney, Alliance, Imperial, Stewart, and your neighbor over here, Crete. So Sandhills Energy is the the developer of those, and we're the EPC, which is the engineering, procurement, and construction. So we built those sites, and then some of them we maintain, some of them the developers maintain. But you can see inside there that, you know, we got a pretty good portfolio of what we've done in the state here. We've went to Minnesota. We've been to Wisconsin, Illinois, and I'm trying to think of the other states. But pretty much Nebraska, Colorado, in the Midwest is primarily where we're at. So this job, like I said, was a today's power one. And what we are doing is basically using the exact same layout that today's power had. In fact, the racking material was obtained by Norris. And so we're using the same racking. The only thing that's changed is different modules and different inverters. We use a brand called Chint, CPS, and the modules are called Helene. So that's really what I got to present today. We're sticking with the same MOU that was between Today's Power, Norris, and Gage County. And so the only thing that's changed is ISI's name's been put on that. This is a 999 kW. It's under 1 meg. That's a guideline because of MPPD to make sure these guys get a transmission benefit.
And what does that serve? Break it down to how many houses?
Oh, help me out here, Jerry, because I was struggling how many houses each meg serves.
I think what most of them do is calculate how many kilowatt hours a year the thing is set to generate, and then the average farm in our area, average residential user is about 1,500 kilowatt hours a month. But I'm not sure what your total generation is.
It's going to be close to 200,000. Okay. That's what it's going to be. So quite a few.
Quite a few.
And what it really helps with is two things that it helps these guys with, and I wouldn't know this if I didn't work for MPPD in the past, but what it helps is it offsets their demands in the summertime and the summer peaks, and it also offsets it during the winter peaks because MPPD has a coincidental peak at basically 9 o'clock in the morning through the whole wintertime, and so the solar is usually up and running by 9, and that helps offset their peak besides a cheaper and stable. This is a fixed rate rate for these guys, so they know what it's going to be for the next 25 years.
And then was there a 10-year extension on that as well?
There is a 5- to 10-year extension if they would like to do it. I can tell you if it does happen, what's going to happen is the site will just be repowered. What you'll do is you'll go in and replace the modules and the inverters and repower it, you know.
Is there any Buy American in this as you set it up, or is that not a thing with solar panels?
It is a thing with solar panels. It depends on if you're using grant money. We are not. So there is no Buy American requirement here. There's all the racking that they have obtained is 100% the Buy American. But the modules, I find it ironic, like it says, being on this side of the fence, that Helene has American panels and they have overseas panels. And the price difference is double. So we'll obviously makes the same production, same everything, and we're using the overseas version of them.
And still two sites in Gage County?
Right now it's just the one. We're still negotiating with them on the other site. I believe it's called Hogue.
Yeah, we've not gone through that process.
No.
You know, this process we've been through, this is simply a name change as far as who's doing this project for us. The TPI, their president, CEO, he passed away, and at that point, TPI decided that they would no longer install these arrays. So they continue to maintain, you know, invoice us monthly, but they no longer can install. So they were set to start this one in February, and 2 weeks before their start date, they said we're out. And so that's
this is down on the Hayes place, isn't it?
Yeah,
I thought I remembered that.
Down by Dillard.
Just a quick question. So on the original application, I had abstained from voting. I support the project, but one of the things that was asked for in the application was a vegetation plan, and it did not include one. It just said we're going to vegetate.
Nope.
To me, that's not a plan. I did notice in yours that you say that.
I do have one here.
Okay.
So like it says, what the vegetation plan that. Hopefully, what it has.
Yeah. We can share one here.
It's not a bunch of goats, huh?
Not at this site. Ironically, a lot of the Colorado sites do have that nowadays.
I've heard that, yeah.
Ironically, we got a site that wasn't passing because the goats actually damaged some of the panels. So. But no, this site, and what we do on all of our sites is we coordinate with the USDA to find out what the native prairie grasses are and flowers, and that's what will be used here. So Crete, I have the whole list here if somebody would like to see what it is. So what was on today's power, they didn't go that in depth. We do. Because it is very important. Obviously, if you don't have the right stuff planted, it causes a lot of damage to the soil, and it doesn't do us any good or the environment any good. So, no, we have a comprehensive vegetation plan that when we get started, in fact, on this site, I was just talking to Jerry, we're going to have the site disc up, and the first thing we're going to do is throw seed down because we've learned it's much better to get seed down as quickly as possible and then go in and do our work, and then we go back and reseed it to establish so that you don't get as much runoff and all that other fun stuff when you're dealing with dirt. So
this is a much better vegetative plan than just saying we're going to vegetate, so thank you.
You bet. You betcha.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How close to the grid do you need to be for the...
It's on...
Actually, it depends where you're. We're literally across the street from these guys, and so it's 12,500 kV is what we're connecting to.
That's
an underbuilt water system.
34.5, 12,500 volts.
Yeah.
Not kV.
Oh, sorry. 12,500 volts. Yeah, 12.5 kV. It depends. In other words, you don't have to be close. It's the further away it is, you just... longer lines, longer line losses. It's more important to be where the load is, in my opinion. My background is electrical engineering. And so I always say, as long as they have enough load in that area to absorb it in the local area, that's kind of what I think is the big benefit.
Maybe this question for Jerry. Did you have a map of the grid in Gage County?
We do have one at work. We don't like to put that out to the public, but we do have maps that we use at work. We're right across the road from where this installation will be. We have a new sub-transmission line with a three-phase underbuild, and we'll connect this to the three-phase underbuild, and that will go out then and serve the residences and farms in that area.
So I couldn't get a map?
Yeah. Well, it depends on where that map ends up.
Yeah, utilities normally don't.
I'm just curious where the, because I've asked this several times and I've.
We're like the terrorist.
I've gone to at least one of the resistance
here. Is that where your solar array is going to be? Is that what you're meaning by
that? No, I'm just curious where, where is the grid and.
To everyone.
And see what the possibilities could be. So.
How are the regulations, Washington has a little different, Washington's got a little different idea on things now than what they had previously. Mm-hmm. How are those regulations affecting solar arrays?
The real thing it's what we've seen is a huge push here at the end of the year to get a lot of projects grandfathered into some of these regulations. But really what it's done is it's taken away some of the grant money. But from what we've seen, it hasn't slowed anything down. In fact, if you're asking me personally, I would say it's easier because you don't have as many hoops to jump through. And so
what is unknown that we're all kind of waiting to see is what's it going to do with the module pricing. In other words, the demand is super high right now, so it's kind of bringing that back down. And what we've also seen is inflated prices because of all the free grant money and whatnot. And so it looks like things are stabilizing now. So right now we haven't seen any detriment to any of it, to be honest with you. What we've seen, and like I said, my background is just so different because of my utility side, but what I'm seeing is like Microsoft, the Googles, the Amazons, all around this. The stuff we're doing in Colorado, it's Microsoft that's paying for a lot of those projects. Around here, Google is very strong, trying to get more generation. And I know Jerry can speak in this just as well as I can. When I left the utility, there wasn't enough power. Like if you'd come in with a business and say, hey, I got 10 meg that I want to come in there, it was, well, wait, we got to find 10 meg now. So things have definitely changed. So, no, I don't see a huge detriment to what's going on with the political side. Like it says, it's a standalone type of thing nowadays. So,
what's so great for Norris to be able to lock prices in for 25 years plus?
Yeah, and it's very competitive with what we pay today.
I'm assuming prices aren't going to go down around you over the next 25, 35 years either.
No. Well, I think we all know that answer.
Any other questions for Mr. Brown? Look forward to you working here. Welcome to the county, and yes, you have a good company you're working with.
Yeah, no, this is, I can say that ever since I got involved here in Gate County, this county is just very easy to work with, and I really appreciate it. So
we love development.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we're going to keep coming then.
Thank you. We have a timed event at 9:15. It's 9:12. I think we may be able to approve a couple more here in the next 3 minutes. Approve or disapprove recommendation to Class D liquor. Oh, I'm sorry, skip past. Approve or disapprove Harold Skip McFerrin to the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board. Moved by Adams to approve Mr. McFerrin, second by Haxby. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. I guess that's really all we can do. We'll just wait for a couple of minutes here. It is 9:15 on the clock. I would ask for a motion to go into public hearing at 9:15 in support or opposition of a Class D liquor license for Jet Stop on Highway 36 near Philly, Nebraska. Moved by Dorn. Second by Clay Bob. There's a sign-up sheet. There's not a sign-up sheet. Would anyone like to come up and support or opposition of the Jet Stop Class D liquor license? This has been purchased by Travis and Kelly Boer. I just heard some folks saying there's going to be some takeout food, more variety there, maybe kind of a stop-and-go type atmosphere with daily specials, things like that. I haven't been over there yet. Brisket sandwich. Have you been there to eat? Yeah, we did. Yep. 6 in favor. But yeah, this is over near the Highway 4 136 interchange there by the Philly Agronomy Plant. Kelly and Travis are members of the Adams community, farming up there and trucking. Does anyone have anything for public hearing on the board side? Do we have a report from the sheriff on this?
No, this is a little different. This is actually to give their Class
D
liquor license, so those are special use permits. These are not for special use liquor license, but this is an actual Class D license, so under their name.
Okay. looks like they run through the ringer going through stuff. They've gone through the process with the state. Like I say, this is not something we approve or disapprove. We give recommendation to the state liquor license, state liquor commission. They make the decision. But if there's no one that would like to speak in public hearing, and nothing else from the board, we have a motion by Adams, second by Haxby, to close public hearing at 9:18. Please vote. 6 in favor to close at 9:18.
There you go. There you can.
Mr. Adams.
Make a motion to approve the recommendation of the Class D liquor license to Jet Stop at East Highway 136.
Second. Motion by Adams, second by Haxby, to approve this Class D liquor license recommendation. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Nice to have a local owner there still. With that, we do have two items we need a closed session for. He's not on the agenda. If you would like him in the closed session, well, no, we can't have him in the closed session either because of potential litigation. We will have contract negotiation discussion in closed session, and then, well, both items would be contract negotiation. But with that, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:19 for the protection of the public interest or for the needless injury of the reputation of an individual, and this would be for contract negotiation.
Second.
Do we have a motion?
I thought he
did. Yeah. Second. Moved by Dorn. Second by Juergens. Go on closed session at 9:19. Please vote. 6 in favor, and this will be for contract negotiation. We will come out of closed session at 9:59. We are in closed session to discuss contract negotiations. Anything else for the good of the order?
I move to come out of closed session.
Motion by Haxby to come out of closed session.
Second.
Second by Claybaugh. Please vote. 4 in favor. We are out of closed session. We were in for contract negotiations. If there's nothing else, we will adjourn at 10 o'clock.